Mike Buseglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Runcast. Been away for a little bit here, but back on track again. No pun intended. Happy that you're joining us, and hope to fill the next few minutes with some informative news about our running community, the people that make up this wonderful running community, maybe leave you with some thoughts on how to better your own running. We're just in the middle of high school cross-country season right now, and UVA, and we're on the grass, so to speak, when it comes to our young folk, and that's an exciting time of year. I really love it. I continue to remind folks that for complete results of any of our, we have 17 schools in our area, and on any given weekend, anytime during the week, they're competing. To go to Milestat, that's M-I-L-E-S-T-A-T, milestat.com. It's the most comprehensive results and information site for high school cross country. And then, of course, the Daily Progress prints the poll every Thursday morning. Very nice of them. So grab that paper, support the Daily Progress. Please, please, please. They really do a great job. Top five boys, top five girls, mug shots of them, and then the rest, the top 15, just listing them, their accomplishments, and then a little synopsis that Alec, actually my son, writes, and that's every Thursday morning in the Progress. And it's based on coaches' votes. Quite often people think that we're just taking the coaches' votes together and compiling the list of a ranking, and it's a good exposure. From Maymont was last weekend in Richmond. It's one of the biggest cross-country invitationals that we have in the fall. It's just a festival, they call it, of cross-country races. And Western Elmont came out on top, not on top of the meet, but it was our top locals. They were our top local boys and girls school. Congrats to Lindy Bain and Kate Pugh. And pretty neat story. David and Annie Taylor. David Taylor and Annie Taylor were the top male and the top female for Western Elmont. We don't see that very often. We had the Herms Myers last year at Monticello that they were tops on their team, and it's neat to see it happen again. David and Annie both in the top five in the poll last week. Annie, interesting story, is a freshman, so pretty cool stuff. But the team to be looking at right now is Rose Brogan's Fluvanna girls. They are on the hunt. Mm. They are not normally in the fight, particularly with the powerhouse Western Elmore Warriors in the Jefferson District, but they are young, and they're hungry, they're talented, and they're being well coached, so look for them at the big showdown. We're all excited about, really excited about. I can't hype it enough. The Albemarle Invitational on October 8th. That is the thriller of the fall locally. It's kind of like our little state meet here within our own community. It'll be not only our area teams, but all a variety of teams from around the state. And that's at Panorama next Saturday, October 8th. We are looking for help at that meet if folks want to help. But we're particularly looking for folks to come on out and cheer on these young folk. It's been fun having my daughter, Annie. First time we've had a child competing across country in many years, because there's a gap of 8 years between our youngest of three, our first three kids, and then we had this big gap of 8 years between Adrian and Annie. And so it's really neat again to have a child doing it. I'm trying to keep my nose out. I always say that, you know, you benefit from lots of advice, but you only need one coach. And Annie has a coach. And so, particularly a know-it-all like myself, if I get my nose butted in, that nose is pretty big. It can get in a little too much. So I just kind of keep my mouth shut. But I've been just listening to her reports of how it's going. And, you know, it's interesting to see these kids starting out at this age and having them figure out pain. She was telling me the other day, it hasn't hurt yet.
Right.
Well, you know, in athletics, it's got to
hurt.
So
it's gonna happen.
Anyway, yep. We'll leave it be and let her figure this out on her own. But I'm excited to. I'm actually going to get to cheer her on, and today, first time I'm actually going to get to see her race out at Lindy's Loop. It's the unveiling today, the first time Lindy's Loop out at Old Trail is being used.
Fun.
This is Western Elmont's home cross-country course now, a gift from the Bates family out at Old Trail. They've donated land to be used not only for Western Elmont, but for the community, and today we will have a course record.
Very nice.
Not a new course record. We will have a course record.
Right, automatically.
A boys and a girls. So whoever wins today has the privilege for a whatever period of time it may take till it's broken, I can guarantee you, I put money on it, somebody's going to establish a course record today.
Of course,
this is Wednesday, and you won't hear this till Thursday, but Wednesday afternoon out at Old Trail, pretty neat stuff.
Very cool.
They're running against Monticello. The UVA cross-country club cross-country team, not to be confused with the UVA cross-country team of Jason Vigilante's kids. This is the club cross-country kids. They formed this a few years ago. I got to help at their meet over the weekend out at Tau Park. Very neat. And they much put the kibosh on, squashed every team that happened to show up that day. And it was really, it's a poor man's version of the ACC in a sense. Tech was there. Maryland was there. Huh. Duke was there. James Madison was there. They're not ACC, but it was neat.
Right.
George Mason was there. It was awesome. And these are all kids that were really good cross-country runners in high school, but maybe not good enough to be on this super-duper team that we currently have at UVA, or maybe just not finding that time to...
Right.
And they want to be in a little lower-key setting. Very neat.
So yeah, still competitive and a good way to stay in the sport.
Yeah, and we saw some great performances out there, Tau in the mud, and
that's really cool
to see Holly Rich out there, former Monticello star. She's one of the stars of the cross-country, the club cross-country team. And while we're talking about Holly Rich, this weekend... George Rich, along with about 35 others, is traveling up to Corning, New York for the Wineglass Marathon. And this weekend is kind of the unofficial kickoff of the fall marathon racing season in the United States. We've got Twin Cities in Minneapolis this weekend and Wineglass among several events that we are on tap for this coming weekend. It's really great. We wish everyone the best. And I want to talk a little bit about some tips with this. If anybody listening knows a marathoner or is contemplating doing a marathon or is doing a marathon this fall, there's some real basics to get down. And when you're actually not just training, but this is particularly race tips. And one of the biggest ones of all is make sure, and it's a cliche, hear it over and over again, to make your first 4 to 5 miles your slowest of the day.
Right.
Not how they feel slow, but they actually are slow. So if you're shooting for 10-minute pace, you better run 10:45 to 11 for the first mile, and then maybe 10:30 to 10:45 for the second, and 10:25 to 10:35 for the third. Getting the picture, you get yourself eased in. But then we throw this little perception of effort, POE, into the fray,
yep.
And that even changes things a little bit more, because if you hit an uphill, you got to make sure that your perception, what you're feeling, is the pace you're shooting for. So when you get to mile 12 of a marathon, and you said, well, Mark said I can start to really unwind now. 12 miles in, I can start cranking at marathon pace. If it's an uphill, then that 10-minute person is going to dial back to about 10:20 to 10:30 pace for that uphill. Why? Because that feels for their body like 10 minutes. If they try and run 10-minute pace on an uphill after you've been warmed up, it's going to actually pull away from your performance, because it's going to actually feel to your body like it's a 9:30 pace.
Right.
So... on the flats, perception of effort. This is a good kind of black and white definition. On the flats, you run your pace. On the uphills, you run slower than your pace. And on the downhills, here's the real treat. That 10-minute person would actually run 9:30.
Sure.
Maybe if it's a long downhill, 9:20. Because the effort, what is draining from your body, feels like 10 minutes.
I would say out of all the tips that I've gotten since you started doing the Runcast, that is the one that has stuck with me the most. I was... that guy that said, all right, I'm at a hill, and sort of this like Seabiscuit ego effect cranked in, where I would be like, I want to beat people on hills. I would. And then we'd be right at the same spot 45 seconds to a minute later, but I had exerted all this energy. So I've that is the one, the biggest tip that has helped me more than any, I think, right now.
Well, Mike, when you're ready to do a marathon, I'm going to help you. We'll hold each other's hand through it. And one of the things you're going to hear me say is the marathon, even more different than the 10-miler, which has been your big event, which is a big event for anybody.
Yeah.
26-mile race, you break it down into 26 separate one-mile races, one-mile quizzes.
Right.
And the cumulative effect of all those quizzes is your ultimate grade. So at mile six, all you're thinking about is going to mile seven. So if mile six is an uphill and you're shooting for 10 minutes, you're saying, okay, computer... lock in, we're going to run 10:20 going up here.
Right.
Oh, wait a second. Also, when's the last time I hydrated? When's the last time I got electrolytes in? It's a hot day. When's the last time I took a salt pill? You're taking each mile separately. And once you do that, when you get to finish mile six, your next question is, what's on the table for seven.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be six down, 20 to go. Those are dangerous thoughts.
Sure.
Really dangerous, because you're not looking at the whole picture.
Right,
you think you are, but you're not. And it goes by amazingly quick if you break it down per mile. And then within the mile, you practice perception of effort. So if it's a mile that undulates on the uphill, your Garmin can say 10:20. On the downhill, suddenly it says 9:40. And on the flat, you're at 10. It's a really cool game, keeps the mind stimulated. So all the best to these folks that are hitting these events. Jim Hall, one of my favorite athletes, he actually runs World Strides, which is one of our really great community businesses. A wonderful, wonderful organization, World Strides. Jim is the president. He's out to Twin Cities. And I could go on, the number of people up there at Wineglass. I'll be reporting on them next week. Locally, we've got the Charlottesville Catholic School this week and the Clark School 5K. Both are this Saturday morning. I hate to see when there's two races on the same weekend, particularly when they're benefiting two great causes, particularly when they're benefiting schools, particularly when they're family-oriented. So be it. Let's, you know, if you're listening out there, try and support one of them. You can't support both, obviously, just like I can't help it both because they're both at the same time. But one is beautiful downtown Belmont, and the other one is up at beautiful Penn Park.
Yep.
Both this Saturday morning. And you can't enter that morning. Had some cool results over the weekend from our Ragamountain Racing Gang. Donnie Cowart and Julia Webb took the male and female spot at the Lynchburg at the Virginia 10-miler 4-mile event. They had a 4-mile race with that. They were the winners. Donnie came within pretty close to a few seconds of establishing the course record. I ran like 1940 something in the imagine under 20 minutes, Mike. Under 20 minutes for 4 miles. Do the math real quick. That's sub 5-minute pace.
Yeah, that's
pretty good stuff.
That seems superhuman.
It does
to
me too. And then on the we saw Ann Mazur at MAZUR. She's one of our athletes, and I've never known her, seen her to break 6-minute pace for a longer distance event. She ran 23
still
by
23. Yeah.
She ran under 6-minute pace first time in her life, as far as I know, and a tremendous effort on her part. And then Sally Ford, who William and Mary product, who's with us on our team. She ran the 61-minute range, and she was seventh overall in the long race, in the 10-mile race. So congrats to them. Let's see. We've got Wendell Golden. I want to talk about him real briefly. 86 years old. He is now officially the oldest person to ever finish the Pepsi 10K. Pretty cool.
That's
86
awesome.
Years old. So here we're talking about these young, you know, speed demons
that
are in their mid-20s on the RMR team. And then at the other end of the spectrum, age-wise, we've got 86-year-old Wendell Golden still chugging down the road with a big smile on his face. I think we posted the pictures on our Facebook page.
That's great.
We've tried, anybody listening, to make our Facebook page as fun as like a photo album each week. Try and publish pictures in there. Mike, I think you've been in there before.
Yeah.
You and your gal, the 10-miler.
That's right. It's a good picture.
Anyway, picture of Wendell. He's also in our window. So we really congratulate him. One of the neat things to happen this week in our world is huge in the financial world, and maybe kind of gone a little quieter among runners. It's not a running story per se, but a really good community citizen, a wonderful neighbor, Ted Weschler, was tapped by Warren Buffett to be one of his advisors, and it's in that financial world, it's a huge story. He's getting all kinds of interviews and this week's copy of the week, which is my magazine. Everybody has a magazine they get.
Sure.
Used to be when I was in college, it was Sports Illustrated. I got a little too rich for my blood, and I get the week, and it covers everything. And the September 30th issue, he's the spotlight of the week in the business section, and richly deserved. And Ted is a marathoner. He's a very accomplished marathoner. He's has had a streak over the years of X amount of years, 26, 27 years of never missing a day of running. He's talented. He's a great father, great husband, and a great community neighbor. And he has given so much back to the community in so many different ways. So we congratulate him and wish him all the best. A fellow runner, fellow Boston marathoner. I've been to Boston with him
before. Very cool.
And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I think I'll sum it up by saying
very nice.
That. And, I would say Warren Buffett is one lucky guy to have Ted Weschler. So we're lucky to have Ted in our neighborhood. Volunteer of the week. I've actually given this before to this guy, but I'm going to give it again. Dave Murphy, wonderful guy. He's bailed me on several events recently. I had the club cross country kids call the other day and said, I told him, I said, call Dave Murphy. He'll run the timing clock for you so you have accurate results at your finish, which is so important in a race. Mike, can you imagine finishing a race and then finding out afterwards, you paid your money.
Yep.
You worked your heart out, you know, your legs and all.
Sure.
Gave it your all, and you come across and you find out later on, the results aren't accurate, or we didn't really
get that
together. And Dave Murphy assures that happens.
That's He's been
a 35-year member of the track club. He's a Lifetime Service Award recipient, and he is out there almost every weekend, tirelessly helping the Charlottesville Track Club help other. One of the coolest things about the Charlottesville Track Club is that they really give a damn about the sport of running, particularly at the nonprofit level, and they are trying to help. Even if it's the UVA club cross-country team, what would the Charlottesville Track Club have to do with it? That's a UVA group. They're their own separate entity. Why would we be out there helping them? And it's. I said to Dave, this is what it's all about when I was out there with him.
There's definitely a thrill when you get to the end and you see that big electronic.
The big clock.
Scoreboard, big clock, and you see those numbers churning. You get a little extra rush of adrenaline when you see that, for sure.
Just my rant for the week is actually just kind of a pat on the back to people to remind them. This doesn't apply to everyone, doesn't apply to me these days, but it certainly is applicable to my life in the sense that I coach a lot of marathoners. But this whole notion of the Boston qualifying times changing, or the Boston qualifying times being out of reach now, what happened is last year, the event closed really quickly because it's been inundated with the marathon population is exploding in this country and the caliber of athletes has increased, blah, blah, blah. So they came up with a new system and a new qualifying standard times for each age group. So Mike, you know, 25 to 29, which I think is where your age
group
at.
Yeah, 28. You know,
I think it's 310 maybe, something like that. Wow. Pretty fat. Yeah. Well, now I think it's 305 now. It's changed. Changed by 5 minutes for everybody. But what I'm trying to remind folks is this year, before the qualifying standards were put in place, to make sure that they made it fair for people to get into Boston, they had a 3-day or 4-day entry cycle.
Yeah.
And on the first day, only people that had beat the qualifying time by like 15 or 20 minutes, I'm misquoting, I'm sure, but it was a certain amount, got to apply that day. Very cool. The second day, everybody that could have applied on the first day and people now that were 10 minutes faster than qualifying time got to apply. And then the third day, very cool.
Right.
And people were like, oh, this is unfair. So what's unfair about it? It's always been this elite, the only one left.
Right.
We have to qualify. Not everybody gets to play for the New York Yankees and wears the pinstripes. You got to earn it.
Sure. And that's a great idea.
So what they did was they pretty much got everybody in. I think only if you were about a minute off your qualifying time. I mean, if you were trying to run 3:15, you ran 3:49, you wouldn't have gotten in. Whereas last year, thousands didn't get in because they just didn't get to the computer or didn't sit at the computer long enough to get, you know, keep refreshing it. So this year they said, let's make it less savage-like and let's make it more mannerly. Yes, it sounds elite, but what else are we going to do? Anyway, what I'm ranting about is folks are saying, oh, I'm never going to be 20 minutes faster. That probably will disappear next year because the qualifying times have changed by 5 minutes, and that will be enough there that they won't have to close the race real fast.
In fact,
I would argue next year it may not close for several days. And if you run 3:49:22 and you're needed to run 3:50, you'll probably be able to get in just like anybody else will. You're not going to have to run 3:35 to get in. For your age group. So anyway, a little confusing, but I'm basically telling my athletes to calm down, relax, and we'll get you there. Just believe in yourself. And that's pretty much how I'll close too, is I really feel pretty strongly that in the game of marathoning, in the game of distance running, the more relaxed you are, the better off you're going to be. The more you have a game plan set ahead of time. Yes, get uptight about your training, get uptight about a game plan, get it nailed down. But on race day, relax. One of the key concepts about marathoning, of course, is you should never hear yourself breathing. If you can hear yourself breathing, you're running too fast.
Yep.
That's not marathon behavior. That's more sub-5K pace. That's like racing a mile. All right, we're making it quick today. Mike's got to get to a meeting. So, Mike is kind of my right-hand man here. He's become right-hand man. You know, 3 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to handle this. You could handle the technical end of this, but you would not have been able to handle the discussions, the lingo.
No, I've enjoyed it. It's
heavy.
Been great.
Doesn't everyone breathe heavy?
You
do not have to breathe heavy when you run.
I've truly improved from obviously running myself and getting out there, because it's great to listen, but to apply it on the courses and all over the town has been tremendous.
We had so many of our marathoners. I had them do the Pepsi 10K this year as a workout, and I had them run the first mile at marathon pace, not 10K pace.
Sure.
And they're like, it's a 10K mark. I said, I want you to do as a workout. Then the second mile is half marathon pace, and then to race from there. Many of them ran PRs. That's like a riddle. How do you run a PR if you run your first mile at marathon pace? But they couldn't believe how good they felt over the last 3 miles.
Yeah.
Cool. All the best, everyone. And thanks for joining us. You can always go to, like I said, our website for more information on upcoming races, or the ShultzvilleTrackClub.org site. And hopefully we'll get to chat next week. All right, stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.